Are you a parent who feels guilty about screen time?
No.
Well, no, not you, sweetheart. But your mommy and daddy do.
Why?
Because too many apps are filled with AI garbage, inappropriate videos, and random content.
Like a dancing potato!
Or worse. That's what parents worry about. We're Lingo Kids, and we're here to help parents out. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids because kids love it and parents can trust it. They want something safe
and fun.
Yes, fun, but also something that actually teaches you.
Big words like FOMOsynthesis.
Yeah, close enough. And they want fun songs, videos, and interactive games that help you grow, not turn you into
a zombie that bites other zombies, and then the zombies take over the world, and then fly to space and live on the moon, and fly in rocket ships on planets with loads of candy.
Yep.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Hopefully you guys are all coming off a fantastic weekend and you're ready to start the week right. And, well, you're off to a good start if you got the suspects tuned in from now until 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
Barry's here. Nick's here. Nick, double, triple duty, and once again, he sweated as well. Let's just say he perspired as he was at Texans training camp this morning, making sure he got the coverage necessary to bring to the suspect.
What is going on, fellas?
What's up?
Says he's going to wear shorts tomorrow if he goes back to camp.
His stinking ass needs to do something. Oh, he smells awful. Did you even go home and shower?
I did not.
Oh, God, I know. That was rhetorical. Obviously, I could tell.
Nick, the SBS, the Shvetty Ball Syndrome.
Yes, he was foul. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad.
I couldn't stay the entire time. I was like, you know what? Jeans and this weather.
How long have you lived in Houston?
Just doesn't mix. I mean, I figured.
I'm checking my watch. Today is July 29th.
I was told sometimes.
2019. How long have you been in Houston?
36 years and some change.
Okay. Have you been gone for every July and August in Houston?
No. Almost every.
What on earth would possess you to wear jeans to an outdoor event in our fair city?
Well, see, sometimes they walk them inside, I've been told. Okay. I've never gone to training camp. I've always gone to the games and the practices or the pressers. I've never gone to training camp ever.
So, lesson learned, but it was hot, huh?
Yeah, and everybody was wearing shorts. Everybody.
Yeah, you look like the noob, right?
Jason Braddock wasn't wearing shorts.
What did he wear?
Like, not a suit, but like a button down.
You wore a suit?
And some like slacks.
Braddock's that guy. He shows up with a suit for no reason.
Yeah, he keeps the professional look consistent. He doesn't play
around. Yeah,
but no
one's expecting you to be professional in 100 degrees in July, going into August.
John McClane wears a gardener's hat bigger and worse than Barry's when Barry's just doing the weeds at home, not out in public.
What does John McClane look like in shorts? That's what I want to know.
I
haven't seen my own ankles or knees, so I just wear shorts and let y'all deal with it. Tell me what I look like.
I'm picturing like pigs in a blanket.
Oh my
just
God.
Got like, he's just like a summer sausage, just like this, you know, with the end sticking out and just dough in the middle. Is that what he looks like in shorts?
Nick's not going to comment. I'm not going to. See, here's the thing.
What?
I will never let him forget the fact.
Who?
McClain, and Salisbury's with me, that when I first started here,
Rodgers was coming off a lot of the turmoil with Olivia Munn and all that stuff, and he went on 610 and said Aaron Rodgers is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he may not be a Hall of Famer, ooh, and his numbers aren't that good. Jeez. And every single time since then, when they've talked about it with him on the show, talked about Rodgers playing well, I was like, remember, John? He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not very good.
Yeah.
He didn't want to respond.
Yeah, he didn't want no part of that, huh?
Nope. Didn't want that.
Who else was out there?
It was good to, in terms of media?
Yeah. In Nationals?
I mean, Cody Stutz was there. Jake Asman was there.
Nationals.
Ian Rappaport was there.
Oh, really?
All 5 feet, yeah, 2 inches of him.
Or you mix it up with him a little bit?
I did not.
Okay.
That's all I saw, really, that stuck out. Jerry Bowe was there.
Okay.
Jerry's been there every day.
So how beneficial... And I want you to be really, really honest, all right? Because this is why when Tyler was like, hey, Barry, do you want to pass for train? Nope.
I said same thing.
Like, I mean, he didn't even finish training camp. Do you want to pass for train? Nope. Don't.
I can see why you would say that.
There's no benefit for me going out there to watch a battle for the third string. Though. For the third string safety.
Well, you're the man of the people.
Or oh, look.
I think you should be asking the questions the people
want. There's a duel for
the
long snapper. Like, this team, other than the offensive line, which I can get from some schlub that goes out there in jeans, I can get the info from his dumbass.
What, Lance has been going out there?
I don't need, we know pretty much what the positions are going to be. And we're talking about second and third string battles that... Honestly, a lot of people don't care about. We'll watch the preseason games when the battles will actually be determined.
And look, I really can't argue against a lot of that. I think for me, like if there really was a lot to stick out from training camp today, I mean, I would have continued to tweet about it. I had one tweet about the entire training camp, and there was just, to me, the only thing that stuck out was the fact that Justin Reed was practicing, and I couldn't even stay for when the players go out to the tent or whatever outside and meet with the media because it was just so hot, but that's probably the only person that I would have spoken to.
It wouldn't have been great if he passes out from a heat stroke, and then we're all like, hey, Gal Meany, we're just like, Jesus, Nick, man, you're embarrassing us. Why did we send Nick? How does he pass out? He's Arab. How does he not handle the heat?
It was so hot.
All the way to there?
It was so hot.
How?
It was so hot.
That's like if an Eskimo was like, oh, it's too cold. No, you can't do that. But you got how that works.
First of all, you have a duty when you should be at training camp because you should ask the questions of the fans.
Oh, don't
you
even
are
start
a man
that.
Of the people.
Don't even
you
start that.
You should ask
the
questions they are not at liberty to ask because they don't have the access you have.
Don't even start that.
I think that's one thing. I think here's the other thing, Nick. My takeaway from the fact that what you said about training camp and everything else and the way the Texans have handled this whole roof at NRG, I think you have a substantial home field advantage if you would play, you would practice every day in the conditions like they are and then play with the roof open and make teams come down here to deal with what you deal with on a daily basis. As long as your team gets conditioned to it, that is a huge advantage. That's like playing at Lambeau in sub-zero temperatures in December. I think the Texans are looking at the whole thing wrong, not to mention it's a huge farce they don't open up the roof. But I think that's something they should consider because they could really take it to teams, especially teams coming from the north, coming from the Midwest, and having to deal with the humidity and the thickness of the heat in the Southwest.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it, man, because you look at some of the players that who've reported, you know, outside of Jadeveon Clowney, obviously, J.J. Watt, Watson, Hopkins. I mean, it was so tempting for me seeing them in person to tweet out, oh, J.J. Watt looks really good, or Watson hasn't thrown a bad pass, but like, is J.J. Watt really getting really good reps? There's nobody around him that can really challenge him going into preseason. Like, if you really look at the field, no offense, like, there's nobody there that can really give him a solid rep.
It's an outstanding observation because when you think about this offensive line, one of the worst in the NFL, what are you really gaining by going up against them in practice? Prime example was a video that I saw this weekend that I retweeted from Pat DeStat, Pat Starr,
State of the Texans,
who tweeted a video of Will Fuller absolutely destroying Jonathan Joseph.
Yep.
Wasn't even close. Jonathan Joseph might as well have been walking the way that Fuller just left that dude behind. And, you know, Pat's view on it was, man, look at Fuller, he's back. And I was like, man, that secondary is screwed.
It's really
not
bad.
Fuller. It's Jonathan Joseph is old and slow. And that's the same thing. You're going to look at this receiving core, and you're going to see Will Fuller going up against Jonathan Joseph, and you're going to be like, man, Will Fuller is going to set the league on fire.
Colvin.
Well, is he? Because he's going up against a guy, an aging vet, who's another year slower.
Joseph definitely looks slow, but I will say this, though, and save y'all's jokes, Fuller does look bulked up a little bit. Like, he looks way bigger than he has in the past.
But the thing is, the best thing about that is everybody said that he still has his speed and he's going 100%, which coming off that injury
that's a good sign. But if he were going up against, you know, let's just all pie in the sky here. If Jalen Ramsey was a Houston Texan and he did that, then I'd be excited. You know, if this defensive line and these edge rushers were going up against a competent offensive line, I'd be excited. I saw, I don't know who it was, they were like, JJ's just an animal. Dude, he's playing against other guys that wouldn't even be making half the teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Obviously, he can't go
full. So he's going to look like an animal.
Yeah, and he can't go full contact at Watson, so you just see him just get past these people, and then he just puts his hands up.
And then everybody's like, oh, he's a
tag,
beast.
You're in, well, and then he goes back to the huddle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, again, another reason why I don't want to go, because it's a waste of time.
Now, I've heard Matt Khalil has looked good, and they said that instead of a guy that looks like he's over the hill, worn out, and he's going to be cut, they said that he's actually looked really good, which is encouraging, but again...
But define looked really good. No pads, no contact.
Well, they've had pads since Saturday.
Okay, but they're not going full contact.
They've been, in terms of in the trenches, they have been going at each other with pass rush.
Okay.
I haven't seen that, but yeah. I've seen this the pads. I've seen the pads for sure.
But we're not talking game situation.
Well, and obviously that's different.
Yeah. Right. So that's what I'm like. All of this you'll hear. Who was it that was like, they compared Deshaun Watson to like Warren Moon?
I don't know.
I think it was your boy, McClain. The very first camp.
Warren Moon can throw the ball, but
Deshaun Watson, I don't even think he's in pads yet. And McClain's like, he throws passes like Warren Moon. Bro, it's walkthroughs. Like, this is why.
Yeah,
I want to see the third game of preseason.
Yeah, someone
that's
else
where
tweeted,
you're going to know
Deshaun
what this
Watson
team is.
Has been so incredibly accurate this camp.
Well, good. He hasn't had to run for his life yet.
It's a good point.
So, and I mean, look, third preseason game, I'll be all in.
You're talking about Roby. You're talking about Colvin. You're talking about a whole bunch of question marks all across the secondary. Jonathan Joseph is your most experienced corner, and that says nothing compared because of the fact that, yeah, he's got experience, but he's also a year slower. So the secondary is going to be a huge issue. Everybody's watching that offensive line. So those are the main things because, look, Will Fuller has to look good. Watson and Hopkins have to be on their game. The running game has to be, whether it be by committee or one guy or the other, they have to step up because they're going to be playing from behind and playing catch up if this defense doesn't start to show some kind of signs of being at least an average defense.
Yep.
They lost too much. They didn't replace it. Just like the offensive line, they've done some things. The rookie looks good, but is that enough to give Deshaun Watson the time he needs?
I don't know, but I mean, all that in a nutshell is why training camp to me is just, and I know guys have a job to do, and I know that they've got to go and have something to write about, but you'll hear these superlatives coming out of camp that you're just like, yeah, man, all right, slow down a little bit.
It's not just here.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, because, you know,
because people are so pumped for football.
And I follow a couple of the Packers beat writers. And one of the beat writers said something the other day about one of their players. And some guy that was like a professor and a high school coach was like, it's training camp.
Yeah.
Everyone looks good. And then the writer got all defensive. It's like, he's right.
Yep.
You gotta
chill, man. Everybody gets excited. And I know that it's their job. And I know that they have to have something to write about. And look, let's be honest. They're doing it for the fans too. They're trying to get the fans excited, and
but they're also doing their job, Barry. Because as you and I know, there are days during the dog days of summer like this where there's not a whole hell of a lot to talk about.
Sure.
And so, from a sports reporting on the news with their updates, you watch Channel 2, Randy McAvoy's at 10 after the hour, and during the sports cast live from training camp, because there's only so much they have to talk about. Both from a news perspective and from a sports perspective, to where this is the only thing that can capture some eyeballs.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. But yeah, I commend you, Nick, for going out there in the heat.
No doubt.
And doing it.
You're a trooper.
I suggest that you do wear some short shorts tomorrow. Palillo has a pair he said you could borrow.
You know what you should do?
He's always in studio with shorts. That's right.
Get some running shorts, like the real thin material that are real short, like marathon runners wear.
The slits.
I can
up
never
the side.
Trust you.
What? Dude, you'd be so comfortable.
Your entire goal is to make me look dumb.
No,
and stick out a training camp in a negative way.
It doesn't matter how long the shorts are, because underneath there's a built-in banana
hammock.
You get
a tank top?
Oh, that's against protocol of dress codes for the Texans, for media, sorry.
Tank top?
Yeah.
Put a t-shirt under it, Patrick Ewing style. But or maybe just go mesh. Remember those old football jerseys, the old mesh half jerseys? Get you one of those.
The tearaways?
It's got sleeves on it. No, it's got sleeves on it. You remember
the
old
school? Like Earl Campbell used to wear. Yeah. They were mesh.
But the holes
the
in the
holes.
Mesh
yeah.
were huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, get you one of those. Get you some running shorts and some Crocs. Good to go. Sexy, sexy Nick.
So you're not going to come to training camp? Not one day?
Nope.
You know what? I might actually come to one day. I might actually do that. Just to mess with people. I'm serious. I might do like a man on the street.
They'll get mad at you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the Texans PR monitors all that. And then if you're not covering the team and you're doing something like that, they'll get on you.
I'm going to get in the press conference, and I swear to you, if I go, this will be the question to ask Bill O'Brien. Why are you so mean? And then see what he does. Get out! They'll be like, see?
As opposed to Jake Asman, who the other day asked Bill O'Brien what he thought of the fact that the day before a picture got out of him and Jake Asman at the press conference. And Bill O'Brien was like, what?
What? Did he really do that?
Yeah.
He asked about a picture before the picture was released.
Yeah, did you see
released?
The picture of the two of us that was out on social media? I was like, come on, man.
Oh, did he really?
Jake.
He was tweeting about it, that he had given Bill O'Brien something about, you know, the fact that they were both in either a video or a picture. I was like, no one, no,
bro.
Don't.
Hey, excuse me, guys. Can I just make this all about me? All right, cool. What kind of question
he
is that?
He did not ask Bill O'Brien
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he tweeted about it. We can find the tweet.
Oh, yeah. Jakey.
All right, we're just getting started on The Usual Suspects. Plenty to get to, but if you are just joining the show and aren't a suspect like so many, HR&P Listener Line is where you can reach us, 713-780-3776. Call that number or text that number. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Various Funny. Why did I just drew a blank there.
It's
I drew
good.
Myself.
It's all good.
All right, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I can't get down.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday, fun day in the big city.
Don't say nothing either. Shut up. Don't you do it.
So,
ESPN 97.5 got me.
Patrick Crane back in for Charlie Bull show. We're going to go to Jason Bryant from Texas training camp right now. But, Jason, what are you talking about in terms of the outside from the inside from in between? In terms of Jadeveon Clowney?
I am dying right now.
I was driving
oh
in
my
and
God.
I'm listening to this.
I am red as a tomato in the face right now. That is so
and he
funny.
Won't stop because I can hear him through the door
in
between commercial breaks.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I had to get it out. Sorry.
Hey, I had a question for you about training camp. Did you have somewhere you wanted to go right away?
No, go ahead.
Were there fans out there?
No, that doesn't start until either tomorrow or the next day. It's not open to fans yet.
Okay.
But they're really sticklers
they're
with
going
you guys,
to be
right?
They're though.
The stickers
like
about what
you can shoot, what you can talk about.
Yeah, I even asked them about that. They say they'll let you know. Cameras up, cameras down. Cameras up, cameras down. So there's certain
how about that, Barry. It's like
there's certain drills
like,
and stuff that you cannot be rolling tape on. So they even
guess,
told me you can't roll tape here. You can't roll tape. They
it's
told
a dictatorship
me.
Because remember Paul Gallant got reprimanded for that.
No, that's real.
In
though.
A way, I understand it though because if you're working on a set play,
schemes and stuff,
or, yeah.
yeah,
you're not wanting that. You're not wanting that.
But
out.
Okay, for instance, the one that Gallant got reprimanded on was because of the fact that at practice, the defense during one of the last mini camps was getting the best of the offense, and Whitney Mercilus was talking, and Bill O'Brien finally told him to, in a few choice words, to shut it, and they were going back and forth, and Paul just mentioned that. And then someone else from 6'10 backed it up, and they got called in the principal's office. And they were like, and the Texans have rules. Unless it's addressed after practice by the coach or people at one of the media opportunities, you cannot report on that. And I don't get that.
If I don't get that either.
And it happens right in front of you, you should be able to relay that information. Bill O'Brien wasn't happy that the offense not only wasn't performing, but the defense was talking about it.
That's ho stuff. It really is. It's ho stuff.
I can't speak. I mean, look, there's a culture in every team, and everybody's different. That's just the way the Texans run things. I'm not necessarily defending it. And I mean, there's some teams that will allow the public to practice this from day one. From day one of training camp.
I'm talking about you're there. You're Nick Sciarra from ESPN 97.5, and you're on the sideline wherever you're supposed to be, and right in front of you, two players have at it, and they go at it, and they're yelling at each other and talking mess and everything like that, and you go and you tweet it and or you report about it. Yeah. You're in trouble. That shouldn't be the case.
What I don't understand is they've got this like Gestapo mentality where it's like they control everything. Like they think that they can control the media. And to a certain degree, they do that. And then they wonder why they have such a bad reputation among the media and why none of us fall for the crap that they pull or the things that they try to pull. And they wonder why, you know, so much is negative things are said about the team and the coaching staff and all this other stuff. It's because they pull stuff like that. Like, what does it matter if Paul Gallant said Whitney Mercilus was talking trash to this player? Who cares? You didn't want that out? So what? It's out. It's not that big. But then to go reprimand him like you're the media's parents or something? Get over yourselves, Texans.
Well,
and then on top of that, let's just be real, because Titan Hugo texts and goes, oh, so y'all are at training camp. Does this mean that, you know, you're going to get credentials? No, because the Texans are still being crybabies about credentials, and they're wanting everybody. They tried to force 6'10 to have to go game to game, and the NFL was like, no.
Your flagship.
You can't do that.
That's more work on them, though. I don't understand why they would want to do that.
But it's petty. It's petty. This organization is petty.
They have more control. If they determine on a game-by-game basis who they give passes to, it may seem to you like it's more work to give them out on a game-by-game basis. But if someone writes something that they don't like,
exactly,
they can prevent you from
getting
it. That's
exactly why they do it.
The people in Houston are getting screwed in most cases. And Gallant was talking about this a week ago with Lance when he was filling in the morning. And from a Rockets and a Texans perspective, they want to control the media. I know for a fact that the Rockets, when there were rumors about this Harden trade with the Clippers, and the Clippers kicking the tires to see if there was any interest in doing something, the Rockets wanted to get a national media guy either fired, in trouble, or they were going to go at him with the league because he reported something that was true, because they didn't like it. There's a big problem and a big difference between being able to get involved in a situation where you say, you know what, we didn't say that, we didn't do that, that wasn't the thing, and then you give your side of the story, as opposed to saying, you can't say that, don't print that, don't put that, and don't do that, when it happened right in front of the media, or it happened to the media personally. You can't do that.
Somebody said it's a private business, it's their building, their rules, they can't fire you, but they can disallow you from access to their business.
It's a privilege. It is the credential part is a privilege.
It's a privilege, but this is not a private business in the sense that sports is 1,000% public. You sell tickets to the public. The job of the media is to get information and relay it to the people that are buying your tickets and supporting your team. But now you want to control that message. It's asinine at the very least. It's almost communist-esque. When you really boil it, they are trying to. It's like in China, they control the news. It's from start to finish. They make sure that whatever message they want to put out to the general public is the message that they write, and not the facts and not the truth. And that's what the Texans are trying to do. They don't want the facts and the truth, like Whitney Mercilus going at somebody. They want to control the message, and then they want to get mad and they, well, you guys don't cover us right. I would be great if we never covered the Texans based on the way that they treat the media.
Nick, here's a question for you on the privilege, though. Okay. What about James Dolan and the Knicks trying to prevent the Daily News, because he doesn't like them and what they've printed, from attending the press conference for RJ Barrett? And they got hammered, they got fined, and they got told, you can't do that. It may be your building and your team, but as long as you are a team in the NBA, out in the public, then they have the right to cover it. So right. It's a fine line.
No, I'm with you. Look, this type of stuff happens all the time. I feel like if this happens to you, like, and you're a big media member, a lot of times it's a bad look on the team. Like, for example, when Floyd Mayweather, he took away the girl from ESPN's credentials from the boxing fight. Who does the jump?
Oh, Rachel Nichols.
Yeah, I think it was her. They took the credentials away, and then they gave it back. Why? Because it was a bad look. UFC and Dana White, they did that with Ariel Helwani one time because they felt like he reported something that he wasn't supposed to report. They took the credentials away. It was a bad look because he's just too much of... He has too much of a following to not have him there reporting the facts, you know, of what's happening around your fights. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't like it when teams act like this, but for one reason or another, there's a bunch of NFL teams that are doing that. Like, it's not just the Texans. For
Good
sure.
old boys.
You would expect the Patriots to do something like that.
And the Patriots of the South, because that's what the Texans are.
It's true. So, all right, we can continue to talk about that and other things, but just wanted to
except for the
get
winning
that
part,
out there.
Except for the success part. They're the Patriots of the South in a lot of ways, but not from the standpoint of what the records reflect.
Well, their general manager's good, though. My bad. He's going to be coming from the Patriots next year.
Yeah.
All right. Half hour in, 3 hour show, going nowhere, but got more to get to. If you want to get something off your chest, you've had on your mind, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into the program, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we continue to roll, Astros news coming from Chandler Rome. I had just asked Lisa about this yesterday, watching the Astros game, and said, you know, it's weird. We haven't heard anything on the Mariznick appeal of the suspension, and it's been going on for a while, and the league kind of just decides every case is different, when they're going to get back on the appeal. Sometimes it's really quick. Sometimes it takes some time. Well, the news is out now, and they've upheld everything. So Jake's going to be suspended. The fine stays 2 games and the money, and that's the way it goes. So I believe it'll start tomorrow in Cleveland for the opening of that series, and he'll miss the first 2 games of the Indians series.
As Jenny would say, too bad, doodad. Yeah. It looks like you're out.
Okay, yeah.
So,
and again, I mean, basically the way they're using him now that they're getting healthier and healthier is just, you know, replacement late innings in the outfield. Yep. If he gets in at bat or so, go for it. But, you know, he's not being counted on like he was, you know, less than a month ago when they had so many injuries all over the field.
Yep. Astros right now, safe to say, hottest team in baseball. 8-2 over their last 10. Nobody's done that over the last 10. I think 7-3 is the best.
And one of them
Cleveland.
Was that. job here at home against the A's when they had it won.
But I think Cleveland is 7-3 over their last 10, so this series is going to be interesting. You got two hot teams, which, you know what, it was like that with the Cardinals. They came in hot and just dropped 2 out of 3. I think they're still 7-3 in their last 10, but Astros are a buzzsaw right now. They're rolling, and you feel like everything's clicking. I know you were a little disappointed to see the news that Marcus Stroman is a Met.
I'm over it.
Are you?
Yeah, a guy that I had wanted for so long, I kind of got to the point where I was like, well, he really doesn't fit the kind of mold that the Astros look for in a pitcher.
So
but
you
I was
changed
like,
your mind?
I kind of was just like, at the end of it, I was like, there were guys I wanted more. When Syndergaard became available, that's the kind of guy that I think that they could really work with and would fit best. And that's who I wanted them to get more than Stroman. But you know what?
Because you were on like him.
I was for a long time. But more so than anything else, he didn't go to an American League team.
He didn't go
to a team that's going to hurt the Astros. So I'm fine with it.
I didn't understand the move, though.
I didn't either at all.
If you're the Mets, the guys that they got in return,
two pitching prospects, like number four and number six.
Yeah, but not even in the top 100 in minor league prospects overall.
Right.
They may have been 4 and 6
in their system.
In their system, but they weren't even two of the top 100, and it just made no sense.
None at all.
But I guess if you're the Mets, you feel like, hey, you know, we can do something, maybe? I don't know.
You've heard all different things. Like, now they're going to flip both Stroman and Syndergaard and get this just this load of prospects and reboot the whole thing. And others are saying, hey, what if they keep all of them and then really, you know, have that those three at the top of their rotation next year along with Jacob deGrom, and that's a heck of a starting point. But we had heard all along they're sellers. Now they're buyers, but are they buyers short-term? What I don't know. Now they're saying the Padres are the leading contender to go get Syndergaard. I'm like, well, they're basically not going to get in.
The Padres are 7 out of the wild card race. The Mets are 6. Now, if the Mets do flip both of them and get top-tier prospects, then that makes sense. Then, hey, you're playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. Good for you. But as it stands,
I mean, it's the Mets, Brady. Do you expect that to happen?
No. As it stands, I mean, when you think about if the Mets feel like they're in it, they're 6 games back, they would have to leapfrog teams like the Brewers and the Phillies and the Nationals and either the Cubs or the Cardinals. That's a pretty tall task for a team that's not even 500.
And you understand from a Luno perspective, look, why should I be giving up a Kyle Tucker and or a Forrest Whitley when they are so much higher in regard than the guys that the Mets had gave up for Stroman. It's like, well, why should I have to give up the farm when basically down on the farm, the Mets are giving up just prospects.
And it's a good point. And to expand upon it, what basically the Mets have now done is set the market and set the market low. So you finally had a big name break and move. And for that big name, you moved 2 prospects out of the top 100. So now the Mets are saying, though, that they were like, hey, you know, we want for Syndergaard, they want a major league player. They don't want prospects. Right. They want a player. And I don't think the Astros really want to send a player.
Tony Kemp is there.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're doing that. I mean, honest to God, I think they would be like, you send us Yordan Alvarez, we'll send you Noah Syndergaard. That would be the kind of move that they would want to make. And it's great if you can get another team to do that. I promise you, Jeff Luno's not doing that. If he won't move Kyle Tucker for an arm of that, you know, ilk, then he's not going to do it with a guy that's already proven himself this early in his career. So I think it could be a good thing that when you're negotiating with maybe Detroit, and you're like, well, the Mets gave up 2.
If you want Framber Valdez and Yukiti, go ahead. There's 2 major league level pitchers.
There ain't nobody.
Go ahead. Yeah. And we'll maybe give you one other prospect.
Yeah.
If that's the way you're looking at it. Because here's the thing that I throw out to you guys next. It's beginning to look like even if the Astros don't do anything at this point, they're in a position of strength simply because the Yankees pitching has been just awful, especially in this Boston series. Their starters have looked just ridiculously bad. And because Stroman was at the top of their list and he went to the Mets, and now they're saying the Mets want to deal either Wheeler and Syndergaard, one or the other, if not both. But the one team they won't give them up to is the Yankees because they don't want them to have it bite them in the butt in their own town.
Mm-hmm.
So that keeps 2 more pitchers away from the Yankees. So now the Yankees are looking at the likes of Minor in Texas, Robbie Ray in Arizona, and you're like, you know what? Ding, ding, ding. Win if you're the Astros. Because now even if you don't do anything, you set up to be better at the start in the rotation than the Yankees, and that's your main competition.
Yeah, and the Yankees rotation right now is suffering. I think they had a 6 ERA in June, and it's gotten worse since the beginning of the year. Every month their ERA has ballooned. So they're struggling for starting pitching, and that's good if the Mets won't deal with them.
Sabathia is now on the IL, so he's off. You know, Paxton got lit up, so did Tanaka.
Yeah.
They've been struggling across the board, and everybody knows they need pitching, but there
and
is
And if the
no...
Mets won't deal with them, that's great, because then you know Fantastic. That the Yankees are going to go out and overpay for not an inferior arm, but the next tier down from
and
a Greinke guy like Syndergaard.
And has the Yankees on the no trade. He doesn't want to go there. So there's another guy. So the market is already slim in terms of a guaranteed ace or a 1 or a 2.
Yeah.
So when you look at that and then say that because of some of these other limitations, they're looking at Robbie Ray or they're looking at Mike Minor and not some of the other big names, advantage Astros.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did see another rumor, though, that the Cubs are now looking to flip the machete, Maldonado, because they got, what's his name back, Contreras. So
yeah, Contreras just came back.
Yeah, so they're now, after just moving and getting him, now they feel like that they don't necessarily need him. So Astros fans look to maybe see, Maldonado back behind
pitchers
the plate.
Love throwing to him. And he can't be worse than Max Stassi at the plate.
And I know he's a defensive catcher, and he's really good. As they call it, his pop time.
Yeah, he's got a cannon.
He's great at throwing out runners. But boy,
you're going back to the playoffs.
He really crapped the bed in the playoffs last year, and maybe he learns from that, and he'll be better. And you still have Chirinos that is the starter.
Yeah, and maybe that's exactly right. Maybe you use him to get through the rest of the regular season to give Chirinos that every third day off and all the things AJ wants to do. But come playoff time, it's Chirinos' ball game. You're not going to take that risk anymore.
Yeah.
So, interesting. If you want to talk Astros, as we get trade deadline 3:00 Eastern, I believe, on Wednesday. So right in the middle of our show, as we continue to head towards it. And maybe Barry's right. That's what everybody was waiting for. That first domino fell, and it wasn't that major, major, major pull in terms of having to give up a lot of prospects to get a big name. Maybe that helps the Astros as well. If you want to talk about it, we're here for you. 713-780-ESPN, or you can reach us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you taking us on the go. Wherever you may be on this Monday in the big city, ESPN975.com, place to be. If you miss anything, click on the show tab for the suspect, top of the page. You can catch up on what you missed. And, of course, while you're there, follow the instructions to download the app. Then you take us anywhere and everywhere.
Do it.
That's what we do around here.
Hey, we didn't talk about this at the beginning of the show. We jumped right into the sportsy sports. And that's okay, because it was warranted, because Nick's dumbass was out of practice in jeans.
And plastic underwear.
What?
Plastic underwear. So then when he hit shveddy balls, it wasn't getting all over the place.
You had plastic underwear on? Like a
Absolutely
rubber suit?
Absolutely not.
What, do you wear cotton, or do you wear like the biker short material?
I just wear cotton boxer.
Okay.
Boxer,
well, at least you let the boys breathe. That's smart.
And they smother them in denim.
Yeah. I got to give a shout out to Robbie Bennett. We had him on the show Friday and went out to see his show on Saturday in Galveston at the 1894 Grand Ole Opry, or what? I don't know what the hell the thing is called.
Opera House.
The Opera House. Nice theater, by the way. Very nice theater. I was impressed. I was like, look at you. Big timer.
You're going to have a Laminack special down there?
Oh, boy. I would love to do a show there. I don't think I could fill up three rows, though.
With suspects? Are you kidding?
Bro, I got
Nick's in, brother. We're in.
Done.
No.
We're doing it.
Brother.
Well, first of all, you wouldn't go.
I would.
Now you would?
Now I would.
2 years ago, you wouldn't.
Because I hated you then. And we've come a long way since then.
We have. I feel like we should hug right
see.
Now.
There you
Bring
go.
It in.
Yeah, just fist bump for now. We're fine. But yeah, definitely.
And we missed.
Okay. With Tiger Woods and Steve Williamson. Whoa!
But yeah, there's no, like, this. It seats a lot of folks. And he had it packed in there. And I was like, well, good for him, first of all, because, he had mentioned the fact that he was the first magician to perform there since Harry Houdini.
Which is very
and
cool.
He's from the area. And he, as a young kid, he had spoken into the universe. I'm going to perform magic on that stage one day. And he made all that come true. And I can't imagine that, the high that he was on.
Yep.
To be able to do that. Most of the night went really well.
Good.
There were a few issues.
Uh-oh.
First of all, the sound got screwed up. And so he had to skip a couple of tricks. And it sucked because it basically he was dead in the water. Like, he was like, well, and to his credit, I mean, cool as a cucumber. I'd have been panicking. I'd have been like, that's it. Everyone just get out. I would have just like,
Nick's
no.
Nick's like, yeah, you would have. We've experienced that.
Yeah. But he was just calm and cool and collective. He called an audible. He did some other tricks and he closed the show out and it was great. But it sucks because I wanted to see what was going to happen with those tricks. But then it was just a weird night. So, he starts off the show and he's like, let me, I need a volunteer. I'm gonna. Can I get a kid on stage? Let me get a girl. You know, he had a trick just for that. So then this little girl goes on stage, but she doesn't go on. She goes on too soon. She just walks up there while he's in the middle of explaining. So it got kind of. He was like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess we're starting the trick now." So that was like, okay, that was cute, you know. Then we go a little bit further, and he's like, "I need a volunteer. I need and then this kid goes on stage, and then a little bit later he says, "I need two ladies from the audience." And he goes to the audience, and he's like, "Ma'am, would you come on stage?" And he's like, no. Well, why he's doing that? Some kid just goes on stage.
Where's security in all this?
I don't know. And then he turns around and he gets on stage with these two women to do this trick, and there's this kid standing there. He goes, "Oh, what's your name?" Kid's like, "My name is Colton." Of course it's a Colton. Of course it's a Colton that would go on stage acting like an ass. Like, you're 8 years old, Colton. Get off the stage. No one wants to see you. You're already an attention whore. Your life is ruined.
Where's
get off
parents?
The stage.
I don't
yeah,
want attention
that's
whore.
The other thing. Where are your parents at? They're like, "Look at our little Colton." No, get his ass off the stage. I didn't pay tickets to see Colton. I paid tickets to see Robbie Bennett. Get Colton's ass off the stage. So then Robbie's like, "Oh, well, maybe, you know, one of the people backstage could babysit." Like, he's trying to be cool
about it. People are laughing about it?
Oh, yeah. It was like, he was really at this point, because people were just walking on stage willy-nilly all night. And it was pissing him off. And I felt for him so much. So Colton gets his ass off. Finally, Colton's dad shows up. They usher Colton off the stage, and then his dad shows up. And now I'm like, "Bro, we're in the middle of a show, and Colton's dad goes to the stage and goes, 'Where's my son?'" And Robbie's like, "He's backstage." I'm like, what is going on right now? Poor Robbie.
You should have been out front getting a smoke break. You should have been keeping an eye on your kid.
I was like, as a performer, I'm just going, "Oh, my God, I bet he is so pissed right now." So then he does the tricks, and that's fine. And then they go to an intermission, and they come back, and he starts to do this other trick. And I think it was with the ladies. And these two kids in the balcony start heckling him. Like, they're literally making sound effect noises as he does stuff. Like, when he would shuffle the cars, they go, like, real loud. And then he was walking on the stage, and they were like, it was like, what the hell is going on right now? I've never seen anyone heckle at a magic show. At a comedy show, yeah. And then, you tell them to shut up and kick them out. So I was like, oh, my God, that's crazy. So then the ushers came and kicked the kids out.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And it was wild. And then the worst part about the whole night, the absolute worst part, I've never been to a magic show in my life other than, like, I think I went to Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it was at the MGM. So the seating was like, we were at a table. There wasn't anyone like right behind me, like in a theater, right?
Gotcha.
Can I tell you who the most annoying people in the world are? Magic fans. Not the Orlando Magic. Magician Magic. Because every time he would do something, they'd be like, "Oh, I know how he did that. He's doing it again." He basically said, like, it's like, dude, shut up. You're not a magician. If you were, go on stage. But why are you...
Dude, Chuck E. Cheese on a Friday night. You don't know. He could be.
Like, why are you here trying to dissect every trick? Why'd you come? Like, just sit back and enjoy the show. Yeah. Oh, it was so annoying. I had this one know-it-all a-hole idiot behind me that was literally, watch, look. You can see the knot in the rope right there. And then, like, he was swinging this rope, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about there would be a knot in the rope. And he was talking about something, but he was making a joke like this was really a fancy trick, but it wasn't. And the guy's like, look, babe, you can see the knot in the rope. It's right there. She goes, "Oh, I see it." And he stops swinging the rope. No knot. I was like, what? You guys are dumbasses. Get out of here. Just go. That made it the worst. Like, the other stuff was crazy. I was like, who would have thought
that's got to be
all of
so
this wildness would happen at a magic show?
So, like, frustrating because he's a comedian and a magician. Yeah. But obviously the crux of what he's doing is all centered around the magic.
Yes.
And you got these people that are chiming in. Where is someone heckling? To tell him to shut the hell up?
Heckling. Who heckles a magician? Why are you heckling? And you're 9, 10 years old. Get your ass, go home and go to bed. It's a family show, but I'm like, bro, kids are awful. They're why are you going on stage, Colton? What are you doing? It was terrible. I felt so bad for him, but to his credit, he was a pro.
Yeah.
He was funny in the moment, like when, you know, the kids were on stage and all this stuff. He was very, like, off the cuff funny, which is, you know, not always easy to do when you're rattled, when you're, when you're, you know, when things aren't going right. And then the only other observation that I had from the night is I've never seen so many old people with canes in my whole life. I'm not even exaggerating. Every third old person, and there were a lot of old people. I think old people really love magic.
I was just going to say that.
Third person had a cane. I was like, am I at a cane convention? What is happening right now? The ushers had canes.
Well, no wonder why they couldn't stop the kids from getting on stage. Yeah, we're going to beat them?
It was crazy, man. It was insane, but it was a lot of fun, and I'm very proud of Robbie and what he was able to accomplish in the show, because all things considered, it couldn't have gone better based on how it was going, if that makes any sense.
And he was out on social media to let people know how excited he was, how happy he was, how everything went. Now he said, let's carry it over to San Antonio. Yep. And, you know, and the rest of the stops that he's going to make on this tour. But just fantastic. I just think the whole hometown kids does good story.
So cool.
Is very, very neat. So it was great he joined us.
Even had a listener reach out and say, hey, man, thank you for having Robbie on the show. I wouldn't even have known that was going on. I took my wife for our anniversary. We had an amazing night.
Good.
And it was all because I heard him on your show. So it's, you know, power of radio. It's power of why I like to feature local artists every Friday, because you never know who's listening and who's going to be like, oh, you know what? I thought that joke was funny. I'm going to go be a fan of that comic now. And that's why we do it.
There you go. That's hour number one for you, kids. We've got 2 hours still to go in the show. Plenty more to get to. If you've had that kind of day where you're angry, or if you had a heckler or things like that, are you going to turn and take the ball and throw it over the center field wall when you get taken out of a game? Probably not. That'd be great. Can talk about that.
Robbie throws the wand. Get out of here! Oh, that would have been funny.
I've had enough! It goes in the balcony. We can talk about that and a whole lot more as we get ready for hour number two. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I used to feel so guilty handing over the tablet just to get things done.
We all do. But honestly, I switched to Lingo Kids. The guilt is gone and the kids are obsessed.
Really? Do they actually like it?
Oh, they love it. It's all games, music, lessons, and stories. They think they're just playing, but I know they're safe from weird ads and junk.
Mom, look! I'm flying into space!
See? They're happy. I'm happy.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love.